This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You've got some news about one of our faves here at the show, the ever popular, the ever newsworthy,
irrepressible
Ms. Lindsay Lohan.
She's trying again, because as you know, her movie career ended. I think is possibly the best way of putting it. Can you remember something she did after Freaky Friday?
Oh, after Freaky Friday.
After Freaky Friday,
because Mean Girls was before Freaky.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
The answer would be
no.
Oh. I can't remember. I'll be honest and say I didn't even see Mean Girls.
So, What?
What?
We'll talk about this some other time.
But she is trying to get Mean Girls 2 going. You know, she wants to revisit her glory days.
I'd be up for
Sorry,
that.
Glory day.
I'd be up for that. That was a great movie. A sequel would be good.
And to ensure that it's how she wants it, and considering nobody else is interested in doing it, she's doing that little thing. She's going to write the movie. She's going to star in the movie. She's going to produce the movie. She just doesn't have the money for the movie.
Oh.
And she's trying to, you know, get the original co-stars back into it as well. See, sadly enough, though, they're somebodies.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Yes.
Because it's, what is it, Lacey Chabert, or Chabert, or however you say it, and Rachel McAdams, you know. She's got to try and get them back as well.
So she's going to write the theme and write the script. I don't think they're going to come back in a hurry.
Well, she's badgering them. I'm assuming that's via
Twitter,
because I doubt she's got their phone number. And so, look, we'll hope it goes well for her, because let's be honest, I'm not sure the nightclub job's really worked out for her. So poor little Lindsay, I think it's either Mean Girls 2 or Gutter. We're not sure which one.
I've got a very, very special guest on the phone. We have actually spoken to Jess before. Jess Skoczkard, are you there with us?
I sure am.
Oh, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
Now, we should probably explain for those who may not have caught the fact that you spoke to us. I think it was around April last year when you first put out what was then just an e-book. Now, which was called Enid and Her Two Mums. It was April, wasn't it?
I actually think it might have been even earlier than that.
Well, okay. All right.
That was just when we podcasted.
Wait, maybe that's when we put the photos up. Now, Enid and Her Two Mums, it's sort of self-explanatory, but explain the premise of the book.
So it's about a young girl named Enid, and it's just a very innocent look at the way that she sees the world. She looks around and notices that a lot of the kids around her have a mum and a dad, and she wonders why she seems to be a bit different to them, because she's got two mums. And then she goes on a little journey, and then she notices that there's kids that have single parents, and then she sees a boy that's as happy as Larry, and he's got two dads. And then she reassesses everything, and she realises that it doesn't matter what your family looks like as long as they love you.
Absolutely. So, and as I said, you originally put this out as a bit of an e-book. And look, you got some really favourable responses on it, yeah?
Yeah, I did. The biggest change, I would say, in the transformation would be I've gotten an actual talented illustrator to get on board for getting it into a paper book, whereas I did all the illustrations myself last time.
And you had to do a bit of a crowdfunding effort to get the book published. How long did it take you to raise the funds you needed? What did you raise in the end?
I think it took about 3 weeks, and I reached my goal. Raised about $1,000 to cover all the initial setup costs and get the illustrator covered and everything. I had so many people reached out. It was really amazing.
But that's actually really good that you got it going in only 3 weeks.
I know, I was shocked myself. I thought, oh, this is a bit of a far reach. And then every time I checked online, you have a new donation, you have a new donation. It was amazing. I had family, friends, strangers donating. It was unreal.
Now, it's been an interesting year for our community, and particularly discussion around our varied and wonderful families. You know, there have been other publications that have been mentioned in Parliament in not so flattering ways, particularly when mentioned in the same breath as the Safe Schools program. Have you had any negative feedback on this one that you've experienced?
To be honest, I anticipated a little bit of sort of a negative response. I thought you kind of can't avoid that. Especially with the internet, but I've literally had one negative comment, and that was it. And that was just somebody said two words in a Facebook comment, and that was it.
So that's actually pretty good.
Everything else has been praise for the book, and people are just loving it and are so happy that it's out there.
What's your favourite reaction, either from a parent or a kid that you've seen reading the book?
I got a message after delivering about three copies to somebody and said that she had tears in her eyes the whole time she was reading it.
That's pretty special.
Yeah, and I have to say another amazing response was my niece, who has two mums, she reads it and keeps on pointing to Enid and says, that's me. So
that sounds like a lot of little girls we know. It's always, that's me in the book, that's me.
It's totally me.
So, but in this case, she's actually right.
Yes.
So,
It's really interesting. I've even had somebody, a lady, contact me whose partner is pregnant, and they were thinking of naming their daughter Enid, so she's taken this book as a sign that they should go ahead and name their daughter Enid.
excellent, love it. Now, as you mentioned, you've managed to get an illustrator on board. Now, we have our pre-sale copy,
our signed copy, Chris.
Signed pre-sale copy that because we were part of the funding campaign for you, and I have to say that the illustrator you've got on board, Tara Reynolds, it's such a beautiful book now.
Oh, I completely agree. She's so talented. I could never create something so beautiful myself. I was so lucky to have her on board. She's actually from Florida, and I found her online, and we just hit it off straight away, and it was just so awesome working with her.
It's all done in watercolours. It's there's a bit of an homage to children painting on paper, but the detail is just outstanding. It really brings the story to life.
Oh, I completely agree. And the fact that she sat there and she sketched everything by hand and sat there and hand painted it. It's amazing. And if you go on her Facebook page, she's even got videos of herself painting those very pages.
Fantastic. Now, it's a big day for you tomorrow.
Yes, it sure is. I'm very, very excited. I've got my book launch tomorrow.
You've got your book launch tomorrow. So where is the book launch?
It will be at Altona Library. Mm-hmm. And it's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
And you've got a couple of important people there to help you with the launch. I think it's being presented by Tony.
I've got Councillor Tony Briffer presenting with me for the event. He's been a huge support in bringing it out and getting the word out. He's been really amazing. So I'm really, really excited to get Tony Briffer in on it with me.
And this is an event where you'd love to see people come down and help you celebrate the launch of the book.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping people will bring their kids along. I've already had people messaging me for their kids to actually read pages out on the day to everyone. We've got colouring in pages for kids and balloons, and just hoping it'll be a really nice chance for families to come and have a good time and introduce them to the book.
And I was going to say, Jess, can people get a copy of the book, an actual physical, real paper, like copy of the book while they're there?
They sure can. They can come along. I've actually got it. I've got sales on for the day as well so that people can pick it up for a little bit cheaper. And they can get it signed on the spot as well.
Fantastic. So you get this beautifully illustrated children's book. It's Enid and her two mums. And the author Jessica Skogstad will sign it for you. Is it easier to sign than it is to say?
It's just as difficult to spell as her name, trust me.
Jess, look, we've been on board with this one right from the word go. We love it, and it is just astounding. So well done. Congratulations.
Thanks very much, guys.
And get everyone who has kids or wants to meet some kids or wants to have a copy of this book, it is amazing. Get down to the Altona Library. It's at 123 Queen Street in Altona from 10 a.m. tomorrow. It's going to be presented by Councillor Tony Briffa, so all very good and lots of things for the kids to do on the day. Jess, thanks for joining us today and bringing us up to date.
Thanks, guys. It was awesome talking to you again.
Time for some Star Wars news, people. Now, as you know, Star Wars first came out, what was it, 1977?
Yep.
Or was it 78 here?
No, 77.
77 everywhere. It was 77. And from there, it's been, you know, ongoing. George Lucas sold the rights to the name, the movies, everything to Disney. What was that? Two or three years ago now? For approximately $4 billion.
$4 billion.
Billion.
You say that with your little finger.
Well, you've got to say it like Dr. Evil. Yeah. I don't know why. Every time I say the word billion, it always has to be like Dr. Evil.
All right.
Maybe it's because we're talking about George Lucas.
So George made a final packet.
He'd obviously already made a hell of a lot of money out of the movies, out of the Skywalker sound and all those sort of things that he's done along the way. He's decided to use some of the money, approximately $1 billion of it, to build a museum of narrative arts, which is effectively a Star Wars museum.
It's
called the Museum of Narrative Arts, and it's going to have a lot of his collection of memorabilia from various movies and that sort of thing, but most of it will be the Star Wars memorabilia.
Okay.
Because that didn't go across to Disney with the sale.
I don't get the relationship between the name and what it is. Why? Well,
it's the Museum of Narrative Arts, which is basically the museum of
telling
movies.
Stories. Right.
So, and it's going to have a lot of his things because he's got like a lot of props and things from films like Casablanca and that in the, you know, from the olden days, right through to props and things from all six of the movies that he was involved with for Star Wars.
Yep.
So they're going to build that in Los Angeles. Cost $1 billion. Oof. The museum itself. Now, if you remember in Star Wars Episode 1, which was the Phantom Menace.
Mm.
Not an overly memorable movie.
The movie that introduced the world to Jar Jar Binks.
And then managed to kill him off as well. What a shame. But in that, if you remember Queen Amidala's spaceship, the silver spaceship that looked very sleek and all that sort of stuff, if you think about that turned into a bit of a mothership,
yeah,
that's what the museum is going to look
like.
On the
outside.
On the outside.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
It actually, like if they build it how the pictures look, it's going to look pretty bloody good. Yeah. It's not going to open for a few years because it will take a while to build.
Yeah.
But it's due to open in about 3 or 4 years' time. And it should be bloody great sort of thing.
Sounds
the final
amazing.
Good thing that George Lucas has done to try and erase those bad movies.
Now, we've got a little bit of extra Star Wars news, haven't
we? Yes. Following on from the very untimely and unfortunate death of Carrie Fisher, turns out Disney has received a $70 million insurance payout for the passing of Carrie.
So that, because all filming was finished on the second film, which means she was planned to be in the third film.
It does appear likely, yes. And it also appears likely that they will not be changing.
Oh.
And that speculation is she will be digitally included in the third of the new movies.
Another actress and then overpaint her face with CGI like they did
For Rogue One.
And also for Moff Tarkin, the character.
No, that was actually a new actress. Moff Tarkin, sorry. I was thinking of Mon Mothma.
No, no.
Getting all my mums. Yes. Yes, so she will be there and it is speculation. But it looks like she will be digitally in episode
3. Well,
9?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. 7, 8, 9.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever.
I had to think about that.
3 in the new series.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm worried about that, but well, I've got an extra $70 million to play with.
So. Yeah, and they have got a few years to get the technology up to the point that it looks like a person and not a digital recreation of a person.
Yeah, I guess they'll work hard on that.
Yeah, I expect them to spend all of that $70 million on that.
We're joined in the studio now by the man who's probably got the most critical job in our community right now, this day, right this weekend and for the next 3 weeks.
So no pressure.
No pressure no whatsoever. Pressure. We do welcome to the studio Daniel Santangeli.
Santangeli.
Santangeli, who is the program manager for Midsummer for this year. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, it all kicks off on Sunday.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, this Sunday. It doesn't look like summer outside, but this Sunday, the weather, the clouds will part and the sun will come out and it will also be a beautiful, last time I checked, 23 degrees.
It actually looks like it's going to be a great day for it. It's perfect day. It won't be too hot. The sun will come out by about 11, 12 o'clock and everyone's going to be amazingly happy.
Yeah, and 11 o'clock is when Carnival kicks off at Alexandra Gardens. So that's perfect timing.
It is an 11 o'clock start, so people can start moving in at 11.
That's correct. And it runs all the way through to 10 p.m. So it runs for 11 hours in total.
All right. First question, because it comes up every year, will you be taking donations for those people coming through the gates?
Yes, so it's free entry. It's completely free. Yep. There isn't a gate, so anyone can come in any way they want to. And we won't be taking donations at the gate, but there will be volunteers roving, asking for donations. It is a free event. We are under-resourced to produce this event, so donations do help. So I do encourage people to give to Midsummer to make the event happen, but it's totally free.
So and any spare change? Yeah. Or any enormously large notes would be very much appreciated.
Will the volunteers who are wandering around with the donation buckets be recognisable?
Oh, absolutely. They'll be wearing a Midsummer T-shirt, they'll have a lanyard, and they'll also have a big tin that will be rattling filled with coins.
Excellent. Because at the end of the day, and don't be shy to go up to them and throw money at them, basically. So.
Absolutely.
in a nice way.
Don't wait to be asked or have the tin rattled at you, is what I guess is what I'm saying, because in a lot of cases, people have said in the past they've had the situation where they haven't seen people collecting and they've wanted to give. So, as soon as you see someone with one of those buckets, run up and give them a hug. If they want a hug,
yes,
and put some money in their tin.
And you can donate online as well. So if you feel like giving right now to Midsummer, jump online and do that.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So modern.
That'd be midsummer.org.au.
Yep,
hey, so it kicks off at 11. We really want people to move in pretty quickly, don't we? To really enjoy the day. You don't want to leave it too late.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are four different stages at Carnival. On the main stage opening the day, we have Karen Fields and Little Wise, who are two alt folk singers.
Mm-hmm.
Will be sort of starting the day, quite cruisy, relaxed music. You know, a couple of singer-songwriters will really like welcome the day in. And then from there onwards, the main stage is just pretty much jam-packed all the way through to the evening. So,
and obviously, if you get there at 11, you'll get your best spot in terms of whether you want to be under a tree, whether you want to be on the grass right in front of the stage, whatever it is.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And chase that shade during the day because it will be, you know.
Absolutely. What other areas have we got? You said there's four main areas.
So yeah, that's right. So we have also the palm stage as well. So that's where the dog show will be.
I hear good things about that.
I hear the host will be really good this year. But we'll get to that. What other areas?
We also have an area exclusively for under-18s as well. Well, it's not exclusively for under-18s, but it is an alcohol and drug-free area that is, it's run by Minus 18. It'll have DJs in it. And it's specifically to help, people who are under 18 feel comfortable at Carnival so they've got a safe space where they can have fun.
Fantastic.
And Team Melbourne.
Apparently the younger generation, they keep coming. They keep happening.
You mean they keep appearing?
Yeah, they do. I don't know.
Maybe the other way as well. I don't know.
So we need to look after them. And one other area?
Team Melbourne will be returning again. So if you want to...
The sports precinct,
that's right. So Team Melbourne are a sort of umbrella community organisation that house a number of different queer groups and teams. They will be having a display and lots of exhibitions. So you can jump in and, join in on some wrestling. You can watch some dancing. You can watch some martial arts displays. So that'll be quite a fun area to be in as well.
If you're the sporty type, you can probably sign up for any of those teams if you want to joining the future as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really great way to meet other people and to, you know, get fit and all the rest of it.
Fantastic. It is all things carnival right now in the studio. We have the program manager, Daniel Santangeli. Did I get it right?
Close. Close. That'll do.
Santangeli.
Daniel.
Daniel from Midsummer. We are talking all things carnival because it is carnival on Sunday.
That's right. So carnival opens our three-week festival, Midsummer Festival, and it contains sneak peek acts of the festival to come, but also a bunch of different stages and areas as well, like Team Melbourne are presenting things, and we've got a dog show and lip sync. Lime Light, which is a drag lip sync competition that we've introduced for this year as well.
Wow. Is that happening on on the main stage?
On the Palm Stage. On the same stage as the dog show.
So we may as well talk about that.
I'm not going to say a thing about that comparison.
The main thing we better talk about that is that the dog show starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday and it is being hosted by Cam and myself. So for the first time.
That's right. We're really excited to have new hosts for it. It's very exciting. And one of the main reasons we asked you was not only are you fantastic hosts, but also you have a Saint Bernard.
We do have a Saint Bernard called Rosie. She's a big crazy dog. She entered the dog show a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Absolutely ripped by not winning. Absolutely.
Fortunately,
it was a disgrace.
It's not the same judges this year, so we won't hold any grudges. And we won't be entering Rosie.
No. She didn't look. We will say she won't be there, unfortunately, because she doesn't cope with crowds.
Yes.
Crowds stress her and stress gives her the runs.
Oh, God. So we'll be leaving her with Grandma on the day.
Yeah.
But we are really, really looking forward to hosting it because we get to introduce an amazing array of dogs, and as every year it always is. And the big thing is, if you haven't decided whether you're entering or not, you can do it on the day.
That's right. You just turn up on the day. You head to the My Pet Warehouse tent, who are sponsoring the dog show, you just sign up there and then take your pooch onto stage.
Now, remind us who the judges are for the dog show.
So the judges will be the Lady Mayoress, as well as Rowena Allen as well,
fantastic,
who's obviously our Gender and Sexuality Commissioner.
Excellent. So one of the other things, of course, that happens at Carnival is that you get a whole bunch of stalls from community organisations and other organisations interested in providing services to our community. So what's that looking like this year? Is there a lot of participants?
There are literally hundreds of stalls, and we also have lots of many activations in lots of those stalls as well. I think one of my favourite ones is one of the stalls is you can get a 3D photo taken. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but you stand in a booth that's totally round, and it cameras scan you, and so you can jump in there with your friends and get a photo taken. There are stalls like that and many, many, many more.
Fantastic.
We did have a question come in.
Yeah.
Minion Tristan,
yeah,
who we will tell you all about very shortly. He's bringing his dog Maddie, not his dog Rocky.
Okay.
But he did have a question. He wanted to know, will there be any pet type stands there that he can then go and buy some food for Maddie?
I would recommend bringing your pooch a snack for the day. But My Pet Warehouse will have a few different things that you can probably purchase from them. But I would recommend bringing your pooch a snack.
So there are no dog cafes, in other words. Sorry, Tristan.
There will be water, though, for your dogs. Yep. So don't worry about that. But, do bring a snack for them.
In terms of the main stage lineup, what else? You said we're starting with Little Wise, first thing. What else have we got on?
So we also have Johnny Wu will be performing, who is one half of Johnny Wu and Ligato Chocolat, who are performing at Arts Centre Melbourne.
Yep.
So he'll be doing a number.
Sort of a preview of the show.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
We also have the Gay and Lesbian Chorus performing as well as the Melbourne Rainbow Band, so a couple of staples from the queer community. And we also have the fantastic Erin Minogue, who is the other sister.
Minogue, yeah. Righto. Cool.
And also Miss Gay and Miss Transsexual Australia will be doing a mini pageant as well, which is will be very exciting.
Will be lots of fun by the sound of it. Cool.
And then from 6 p.m. onwards, the main stage turns into Tea Dance, which is our very famous event. It's very much synonymous with Midsummer.
And once again, being hosted by a Joy presenter. Dylan from Countercultured is emceeing.
Yeah, that's right. So we're really excited to have Dylan emceeing it. And we also have quite a different lineup to what we've had in the past. It's quite a diverse lineup, both in terms of music styles, but also in terms of representation from different queer communities. So we've got Brooke Powers DJing. We've got Wahe DJing, who kind of focuses on decolonization through art and music. So both has a kind of like political edge, but also is a lot of fun as well. And then we also have Misha, who are a young female duo DJing as well, who just won Your Shot competition.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And then also the Bearded Homo are presenting one of the DJs too, which will be TFG, who will be giving a bit of taste of what people can expect after Tea Dance at Jizz, which is the after party.
The after party. Yep. All right. For those who aren't going to work on Monday.
Yeah.
Excellent. And that's a high energy, power packed. Because it starts at 6, finishes at 10. You've got 5 DJs in 4 hours.
Yeah, that's right. 5 DJs, and also Yummy will also be doing a very high energy 20-minute dance performance somewhere in there as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. They called me the other day and they were like, "Is it okay if we have a G-string on stage?" Yes, that's fine.
It's fine. Apart from the people walking back from the tennis center, but everything else is fine.
Yeah, we might shock them. We'll see.
Oh, it's good for them.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, have we missed anything?
There is going to be so much more happening throughout the day. There will be Rovers. There will also be, of course, Team Melbourne as well, which I mentioned earlier. You've just got to turn up and see for yourself. It's free, and it's also the start of an amazing 3-week festival as well.
The other key question people ask is the types of food available.
There is more food than you can poke a stick at. So every type of allergy or dietary requirement that you may have is catered for.
Excellent. So there's lots of options for takeaway food.
And there's also a bar as well. So if you want to grab a drink, and you can do that.
Well, that would sound appropriate on a Sunday.
One other one I'll add in there as well. Judging by our top 10 countdowns, I will let everyone know that Zach Love
will
be performing live. And so his slightly rabid fans can get on down there and support him in his live performance.
He will be doing a whole choreographed.
Yes, he's even got, I believe he referred to it as a hunky dancer.
Oh, well, Zach's all right himself.
So. Yeah, no. He's the chopped liver for this one.
All right, cool. Daniel, program manager for Midsummer, thank you for joining us. I would say good luck. I will say break a leg because it's a bit of a performance as well. I would say get lots of sleep tonight and Saturday because that's about it for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get some rest, and so should everyone else, because it's an incredible 3 weeks. And head to midsummer.org.au to see everything else that's happening over the next 3 weeks of the
festival.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. That's Daniel from Midsummer.
Now, the internet, it has reached out and touched most things.
Yes, it has.
Many, many things.
Many people have touched things because of the internet.
Now, of course, it's in your car these days. It's, it's moved into the shops. It's moved into, everywhere.
Yes.
The next place it's moving is fashion.
Fashion.
That's right. There is a new pair of shorts that is about to be released, which are internet-enabled.
Hang on. So these are pants.
Pantaloons, yes.
Pants now, that don't have long legs.
Yeah, well, they're very, very short because the pants are actually Daisy Duke style shorts.
Oh.
So, cut off jeans.
So they're not high fashion.
Well, they're high.
High cut.
Yes, yes. And depending on the state of your derriere, they could be very high fashion.
Is there a reason from a technology point of view that they are high cut Daisy Dukes?
No. Oh.
Just that the designer of like Daisy Duke shorts, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is makes these particular technology internet-enabled shorts
are designed,
what does that mean?
Yeah, they're designed to work with your mapping software on your phone.
Your what?
So they're
software?
Bluetooth enabled Daisy Dukes, and they connect to your phone, and when your phone is like Google mapping type thing with a route set on it. The shorts actually buzz on different sides of your legs to tell you which direction you need to be going. So you don't even have to look at your phone. It's just like, oh, I feel a buzz on the right. I must head right.
There are so many things going wrong with this story already.
And the shorts will also buzz to let you know if you have an incoming text or a call.
Really?
So, that's the call button and, that's the text buzz. Hang on, I've got a bit, are you being served?
Yes, you have.
Anyway, so the shorts will be available soon with that feature. They're only going to cost $120. If you wish to lash out,
can you adjust
legs,
the level of buzz?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's a setting. They will be also releasing a full-legged version.
Right.
So that you can, for winter.
Yeah, great. So it's a choice between Daisy Dukes or normal pants.
Yeah, really high or long.
Right.
So either way.
What about, mapping is usually useful, when you're, walking, hiking. You don't usually wear your Daisy Dukes doing those things.
You will be, though. You look at it and go, how these things always go. What ends up with all of these new technologies, what do they end up getting used for? Sex.
Well, the whole internet is used
I
for
know.
Sex.
So I'm waiting for them to be attached to various, let's be nice about this, dating apps. And yes, I put the air quotes around dating because I think we all know what we mean, don't we?
Oh, my God.
Routing apps.
Thank you for that. And you didn't need to explain it then, did you?
Yeah, I did because I wanted to.
So you get different styles of buzz depending on what sort of message people... Well,
and also you just type, you'd arrange whatever you've got to do. Mm. Then you pop your phone away and will lead you there.
Or you just, if you arrange the right sequence of buzzes, you never actually have to go out.
Well, for solo journeys, you might,
Like in the end, you can just have people do it for you remotely.
Buzz me for a bit of fun.
Buzz me for my fun. Buzz me to
and
provide
afterwards
me with
they go,
fun.
So you want me to come? No, I'm done now. Thanks. We did have a message come in from Minion Tristan.
I know, he's not here today.
The absent Minion Tristan.
Yep.
He wanted to reminding us that he is bringing his dog Maddie, not his dog Rocky. And he wanted us to say hello to his partner Chris.
This is to
not
Carniv-
this Chris, the other Chris.
Yeah, this is at Carnival. Yes. He's bringing Maddie.
So if you are going to be at Carnival and at the dog show, you will be able to see Minion Tristan and his little dog Maddie. And we do have to say why Tristan isn't here.
Are we allowed to?
Well, he put it on Facebook, so I'm assuming he's fine with us saying what it is.
It's not like he asks when he says stuff about us.
No, he just throws it out there. He says, you're old. You're old. Poor Tristan. Here's how it goes. He was doing the washing.
That's
doing
good.
The folding up of the, once it was dried and all that. And then he noticed there was a drawer open.
A drawer open? Like a chest of drawers? Bottom drawer?
That kind of drawer.
Righto.
And being the active boy he was, he decided, I'm not bending down to do that. I'll just kick that damn thing closed.
So he
kicked it.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it became then a battle of wills between him and the drawer. Who do you think won? The drawer or Tristan?
Maybe it was a drawer?
Nope. Yeah, I get that. No.
The Tristan didn't win.
Tristan lost.
His foot?
Yep.
Damaged?
The drawer won and he sprained his ankle. By kicking a drawer.
Oh, didn't break a toe or anything.
No, that's me. I'm the one with the brittle bones.
Oh, so he couldn't make it today because he sprained his ankle.
Yes.
But he is planning on going to Carnival.
Yes.
So he's hoping for a two-day miracle cure.
Yes. Or he's just not as unwell as he made out.
Yeah. Oh, he's calling in sick with a fake injury. Right.
It's the Australian way.
It is, yes.
Now,
just like those lamb ads. Ricky Martin.
He's one of those people. He really has improved with age, I feel, Ricky.
If anyone can grow into their body, I could grow into his. That has solidified in the last week for us.
Yes, finally, we do have to remind everyone too, if you're currently, we are running a promotion to win a trip to Mardi Gras. You'll be flying up there on Virgin. You'll be staying, I think, at Airbnb. We'll be providing a locale
you will
for
have,
your sleep and car from GoGet.
You'll have accommodation provided, definitely, for the Mardi Gras weekend.
And all you have to do is donate $5 to Joy.
Now, this is basically like getting a ticket. Every $5 you donate gets you another ticket in the draw.
Yes, that's right. So if you donate $10, you're two entries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you can do that online right now at joy.org.au. Of course, you can come down to Carnival Day.
Yes.
Where we'll be hosting the dog show.
And we'll be...
And you can do that at the Joy tent, and you'll be put in the draw as well.
So we'll be taking your donations in return for your entries into this amazing competition to get along to Mardi Gras. Now, one of the other things that you get if you win that is you actually get to watch the parade from a place that money can't buy, because you'll be in the media centre with the Joy and SBS media teams.
Yes, where we will be broadcasting live to the world.
So while SBS will be recording for their Sunday night program, we'll be broadcasting live against the SBS web stream, broadcasting as the pictures go to stream. And it will be a particular set of Joy presenters that will include Chris and Cam.
That's right. We'll be there to call the parade along with plenty of other joysters.
Yes.
Don't you worry. It's not just us sitting there for 4 or 5 hours, because that could be a bit much for all of us. But in addition to us helping out and calling the broadcast,
this show will be live on the Friday from Oxford Street.
I know. The CNC Drive Factory goes on location.
We're going on the road. Probably Oxford
road
Street
trip.
In the median strip if we can't find somewhere to broadcast from. But I'm sure we'll work that out in the next 6 weeks.
Yes, and we'll do just a normal show, except we'll have pretty much every famous person that is going to be doing Mardi Gras.
I'm promising this. I have no one locked in.
I said famous people.
We are going to try for Tegan and Sarah. There have been a whole bunch of names announced for Laneway Party today. Peyton will be performing. Hailanese from Melbourne will be DJing. DJ Victoria Anthony and DJ Amanda Louise, who are both internationals, they will be at Laneway. We will try and get them in on the Friday drive for Mardi Gras. There will be a whole bunch more announced, of course, in the next few weeks. We will try and get as many of them in as possible to chat to on the Friday of Mardi Gras live from Oxford Street.
So make sure you donate your $5 lots through to Joy 94.9 and you will be in the draw to win that fabulous trip to Sydney.
We've been to Mardi Gras a long lot of times. I've never been to Laneway. I am so there this year.
Oh,
so.
I know. And if you are just going up to Sydney for Mardi Gras, or if you're in Sydney anyway for Mardi Gras, come on by and say hi to the Joy team.
We'll be up, the media centre's up at Taylor Square, as it always is, and we'll be right in with the SBS team this year.
So. And we'll give you more details of where the CNC Drive Factory will be broadcasting on the Friday once
when
we actually know.
This is Joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.